Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Overtone Eagle, and it is the fifth day of the Blue Monkey Wave Spell. And it is planetary moon day 24. And that means we're almost to the end of the planetary moon, and in fact, this will be the last time I am speaking from that particular passage. The planetary 28-day moon will be onto the spectral moon this weekend, and we can anticipate that a little bit later in the podcast. I have like a whole treatise I want to present this time around, and I also want to acknowledge that the moon has been full because I actually live somewhere where there was some rain activity, and I didn't have a sense of the encroaching full moon until the storm was over, and then it was like, okay, well, that explains a lot. So that reminder that we're tidal because we're made of water and affected by the moon's changes, as we see on the waterfront if you live near one. And then that so all this extreme emotional pull and behavior can be drawn from these arcs of change in the sky, and that's part of natural time, that we would just be paying attention to nature, period. Not just the Mayan cycles, but the Mayan cycles are orienting us to notice what's going on in our natural environment. And of course, things like the moon and the ocean are kind of like, you know, trademark, on-brand nature elements, but really the natural world just becomes sort of us in our most primal and authentic selves. So I think part of the Mayan teachings as we follow them in a modern age is just, you know, sort of incrementally, can't, you know, decide at what pace. We have to follow the pace that's offered us, but we spiral into self-understanding, self-awareness, self-awakening, awakening of our relationships to others, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a great vehicle for all that. So I realized that it would be helpful, and it's kind of a like a bigger lesson, and I do repeat myself. So even if you're an old timer, you probably heard this before, but not as frequently. And if you're relatively new, you may have never heard it anywhere, and not because it is some kind of like, you know, selective secret. It's just, I don't think it's really provably Mayan, and it's just sort of magical. But we're in the Blue Monkey Wave Spell that is sort of based on illusion and delusion and the feeling of magic being there for all the ways that we individually, collectively, you know, see the tricks and surprises in life as sort of like ordained to excite us and excite our imagination. So here's another one from the Mayan, modern Mayan annals. So I don't really know who came up with this. It feels like it was not Jose Arguelles. It was not the original Maya, but it could have been Jose Arguelles. And then it was just sort of grabbed up by the disciples. And I ran into it somewhere at some point. Each of the tribes has obviously a number. We focus more on the 13, the cycle of 13 through the tones, and we know that each tone is associated with a number, and that's great. We need to keep that in mind here as well. But the tribes are numbered basically 0 through 20, and the yellow sun is both 0 and 20, so, but like red dragon is a 1, and white wind is 2. And the way you can kind of see the science of that is that if you start at the top of the Dzogchen at the very beginning and the first column and the topmost day, that is a red magnetic dragon. It's a 1 day, like 1 as in the first day of a cycle, and it is also red dragon. So then we move from there. From red dragon to yellow sun is 1 through 20. So I don't think I'm going to say aloud the number for each tribe, but you can figure it out based on the fact that they're in order and they are numbered 1 through 20. And the reason that you would want to know this is that if you take your tribe and another person's and you add the numbers, you get the tribe that is kind of like your meeting point in relationship. So I'm going to use an example because I actually do this kind of analysis a lot. So I'm a blue storm. It's the day before yellow sun. So it's 19. I know that. My tribe is blue storm. I was born a blue storm person. So my number is 19 out of 20. I have an ex-boyfriend who's a yellow human, and he is day 12. Is that even true? Yes. He's day 12 out of 20. You add us together and you get 19 plus 12. Now, this is kind of the hard part. Like, we're not going to go any higher than 20. There are no tribes out there. So you have to do the kind of math formula where you're just using the remainder. So 19 plus 12 is 31. But I'm going to shave 20 off of that. It's just the remainder after 20, and I get 11. And so if you put me and my ex-boyfriend together, you get the 11th tribe, which is Blue Monkey. A really cool thing about being a blue storm is that I don't ever have to do math because it's always one tribe before the other person's tribe. So if it's me and my dad, who's a red earth, it's going to be one tribe before red earth, white mirror. If it's me and my daughter, who's a blue hand, it's going to be one tribe before blue hand, it's white world bridger. But that's not true of everyone. That's just true if you happen to be a blue storm listening. But you can do your math on this. You can do your math analysis to find the collective tribe between you and anyone whose birthday you know. The tones also add up. So the way that works is that you're adding up your tone numbers, and anything over 13, so the 13 gets taken away from your total. I will use my ex-boyfriend again as an example. He is a yellow solar human, and so he's 9. I am a blue overtone storm. I am 5. 9 and 5 is 14. I'm going to take off 13, though, and I get 1. So our exact day of intersection is blue magnetic monkey. Blue monkey is our time, blue monkey days, but blue magnetic monkey, it's the encapsulation of our relationship. Is this science? No. I mean, it's astrology. It's kind of crazy, though. I'm thinking about it, and I'm doing this whole introduction of this concept because he is very much an ex-boyfriend. I'm not in regular communication with him, and Mercury isn't retrograde, but it's the Blue Monkey wave spell, and he contacted me. I only hear from him about every, I was going to say 9 months. And so it's possible that it was the last Blue Monkey Wave spell that I heard from him. But I hadn't heard from him for years prior to one of these recent cycles. And so I just loved it. It was like, okay, it's Blue Monkey. And here we go. You know, not like we're going to get back together or even talk more, but it made perfect sense. So you can do this. I guess what I wanted to say is that he really makes me laugh. Like, lots of crazy stuff happened with him. Life-changing stuff happened with him. I really loved him. He really made me laugh. I mean, we laughed. I made him laugh. We laughed a lot when he called me on the phone. No time had passed, just laughing. Really, really funny together. There's that Blue Monkey. And also really childlike. You know, and I remember when I met him, I felt like I was meeting someone in grade school recess. You know, like, let's just hold hands and not say a lot. Like, just that kind of silent, undeveloped love that happens with children. And so there's that Blue Monkey parallel. So you can try that. I might throw out another example here. I'm on the theme of people I've been in love with. So I find Blue Eagle people really challenging because, sorry everyone, because my mom's a Blue Eagle. She is really challenging. It sounds like something I'm holding on to, but she continues to be really challenging. So she's a Blue Eagle. If you put my mom and me together, you get White Wizard. And that's cool. That makes sense to me. She introduced me to a lot of mysticism, shamanism, and I grew up in a pretty shamanic situation, place, and activities were pretty out there counterculturally. So she brought me all of that messaging through her lifestyle. And then, of course, we share this path totally separately, but we're very close in our DNA and we both follow this calendar. So I guess I've also given her, like, we share the shamanism. And so I don't tend to want to replicate my parents when I'm falling in love with people, but I did fall in love with someone who was a Blue Eagle. I mention it because it's his Mayan birthday today, Blue Overtone Eagle. And I just loved being lost in the White Wizard place that we shared. So what you can do is I would never do this myself, and I'm not actually telling you to do this, but it's just kind of a joke. It's a Blue Monkey joke that if you really like a particular tribe, you could go figure out, like, the person that you match with to get to that place. And here's an example. I really love Blue Knight. I really love Blue Knight. It's just I do have a Blue Knight ex-boyfriend, and I loved him. He was dreamy. But my daughter is a yellow seed, and when you put us together, you get Blue Knight. So I could go fall in love with a yellow seed man, but I'm lucky. I have a yellow seed daughter, and I guess when we talk and hang out, and our lifetime together is placed in that tribe. So you could be like, I also love Blue Knight. I will find, and for you, it'll be a different tribe to match to get to Blue Knight. Does this make sense? I'm inviting you to do something I used to do a lot more when I was first following this calendar. I was way more committed to the discovery part of it and looking up everyone's birthday and figuring out, you know, when their birthday was and walking in their shoes and getting our correlated birthdays. I mean, it's just as obvious that, I'll use my daughter as an example, I'm a blue overtone storm. She's a yellow self-existing seed. If it's a yellow overtone seed day, I say that's when we cross. It's overtone like me. It's yellow seed like her. When it's a blue self-existing storm day, I say that's when we cross. It's a blue storm day like me. It's a self-existing day like her. So that's another obvious correlation. But the other one is more of a secret. And now you know it. And by the way, to share a whole wave spell of 13 days, like, you want to be awake to that. Like, this is the wave spell that I share with my daughter or mother or partner and see what happens. I could just go on and on about these synchronicities. I'm just trying to think if there's anything left to say about that. I really love White Wizard as a place to meet a person in love. And so I was advertising that, and I was honoring the experience I had of falling for a blue eagle and just being like, well, this place that we go is so mystical and transcendent. Doesn't mean either of us individually necessarily are, although, gosh, I wish people thought I was that. But the place that we get to be when our energy fields merge is really sweet. And by the way, if you had blue overtone storm to blue overtone eagle, you get white planetary wizard, which is a portal day and John Lennon's Mayan birthday. So you could look up on some of these websites where they list all the birthdays. You could look up the day that you can intersect with the person you're trying to find your, you know, secret intersection with, and figure out like what humanoid, like what musician, artist, power broker is represented by the day where you cross. All right, so that's a timeless lesson. Something to entertain you. I guess we're not really stuck in COVID quarantine anymore, but it's the kind of thing you can do with some downtime. Where are we at? I think that's a lot about Blue Monkey. I just taught you a bunch of tricks. It's very Blue Monkey. You get to play. You get to play with a calendar, play with dates, and play with people. And it's a game, and it's a great game. The original Mayan teachings through Jose Aguelas, not the original from the Maya in the Yucatan Peninsula, but Jose Aguelas' extrapolation of those ancient teachings, all come from Blue Monkey Mayan, because he was a blue spectral monkey. He was an 11-11. He was a spectral tone 11 and Blue Monkey Day 11. I'm sure he was totally into being 11-11. But he first came up with this presentation of the modern Mayan teaching in a game that was called the Dream Spell. I mean, it looked like a very simplified D&D board. I mean, that's not even fair. Like, I described it in my book as, you know, like a sci-fi manual as a board game, which is really, really... simplified colors and so forth. But he was really invested that this was a game that you could play following the calendar on a game board. And so this time is really like back to our fearless leader, our guru, the great inseminator, Jose Aguelas. I mean, that's not right. He offered, he's liberator, he's spectral, expansive, mind-bending information. He gave it to us. So maybe you'll find in this time that you're more excited by the calendar teachings, or maybe you're unconsciously, unknowingly, just really excited by his interpretations that we follow specifically. And this Blue Monkey moment, what are we on now? Day 5, the overtone day. So what do I want to say about it to date? I mean, I really feel better not being in the earlier wave spells that we just endured. It's lighter. It is more playful. I guess I don't have a lot to say about it, which is why I had this whole other channel to offer you. But we'll keep with it. Of course, we have plenty of time left, a week or more. And so I really don't want to talk about the planetary moon, but it's almost over. Not because it's been terrible, although I think it was for a while. It's just hard to talk about the planetary experience. That tone is one of thickness. It's not really torpor. Things are activated and they're definitely like, is excitement about, look at all this manifestation. I just think it's like I guess I bandy that word about mystical as if, you know, I have some authority of describing what is and isn't mystical. And maybe mystical isn't important to you. To me, it's really important. I don't find the planetary tone that mystical. It's like kind of a break from all the questioning. We're at the arrival point, you know. There's not a lot of questions right now. You just look at the facts of what's happening in this wave spell. What is manifesting? I'm going to tell a small story. And, you know, this is all this confessional bullshit that I've been doing forever, since before the internet. But I get really self-conscious now because it is true that the media environment of the modern age is so much about, let me tell you a story about myself. But in the solar moon, I became aware that I'm fully not been in a relationship throughout the whole quarantine year. And for me, you know, it's starting to add up some time. I'm not someone who bounces from relationship to relationship easily. I am also really selective and an introvert, and I don't meet a ton of people and I don't do internet dating. So anyway, I haven't really been in love for a while. And I started to realize like, well, that's crippling. Like, I don't want to forget that that happens. And I'd like to fight for that. But I didn't wake up to that so much until the solar moon and became really clear, like, oh, I want that in my life. I'm not quite sure how to get it. But it was so clear throughout the solar moon when we're shown like what we wish for. What do I want? What is my intention? Like, it came very organically up that I would want that. And here we are on the planetary moon. I'm not trying to date. I'm not dating. I'm not meeting more people. I stay in my home and do my work. There's a really attractive builder who's here right now, but I don't see it as viable. And yet, like, I can be like, oh, well, that's helpful, though, nonetheless. And then contacted by the ex is not a resurgence of that relationship, but a reminder that I've been in one, deeply in love, massively in love. And I think those stirrings and reminders are really good path markers back towards that state that I'm asking myself to look toward, to lean toward. So that, I'm telling you this story because this is the only evidence that I have in the moon of manifestation of, you know, what I was longing for, wishing for, aspiring towards sort of accidentally in the solar moon. And that's how manifestation happens on this path. It's not like I'm giving God my wish list and then I'm expecting it back. It's not about visualizing what I want and having it come true. It's not about pictures of abundance and manifesting that. It's so much more about just monitoring what bubbles up in us, getting clarity about what we're feeling, what we're being shown, what we are, you know, deriving from our connection to spirit that awakens in our minds so that we know in our heart and our bodies and in our illumination, like, oh, wow, I think I want to be in love soon. And then me being like, I don't really have a plan. I don't know how to make that happen. I'm not great at trusting the process, but I'm really aware that that's one of those places in my life where I have no idea or I would have done it. So, you know, what I get in return is not like, well, here's this guy. He came to my door and we're going, you know, good to go. It's just the subtle energy experience of being reminded that, You know, falling in love with the right person happens to me. And it's really meaningful when it does. And then, you know, not to sound just really sappy, but I really love my dogs. Like, they are not substitutes for human experience, but they are so special. I'm so lucky. I have so many of them. So talk about abundance. So I get this glimmer in the manifestation moon of what I've been asking for and wishing for, but it's not here yet. It's just the reassurance that it will be here has arrived. So that's the only way I can talk about the planetary moon and find any satisfaction is in relationship to the solar moon. I can also look at it, as I've said, as a time when we revisit a lot of the same challenges that were overwhelming. We were drowning in it back in the lunar tone, the lunar moon. It's a connection point where the challenges at the outset of a 13 cycle, 13 days, moons, or years, the challenges at the outset are overwhelming. And they really are. That's how we know they're challenges for us, because they are like underscored, like, this is your challenge. Bah, I'm challenged by this. When we get back to them in the planetary moon, same theme, same challenges, we know that there are challenges because we remember, like, oh yeah, this has been a struggle for me, and it's still a struggle, but it is just such the molehill compared to the mountain. And that's because we have raised ourselves up in this wave formation, so that a mountain of challenge 9 moons ago when we first encountered it is, you know, we're mountains too now. You know, we're peers to our own problems. Like, oh yeah, you're my problem, but I've grown, so we're equals. It's cool. I coexist with you. That's not how I felt at the outset of the planetary moon, but it is where I've gotten through the planetary moon. From like, oh, fuck this challenge, is still rattles me. It's back. Wow, it's back. To, okay. You know, this challenge seems pretty much like it has a lot of staying power and it has a lot of grit, but so do I. I also have staying power and grit. So we're going to have to work it out. We're going to have to coexist. And then you can hear that, it doesn't have the same assault on our senses. And we'll be back there. We'll be back in another lunar moon before long. So good job. Enjoy it. You earned it. And we're going to do this again. You know, it's part of the theme. So that's an important thing for me to kind of prognosticate about, just the reminder that the planetary moon, as we complete it, is also the last moment of stasis, the last moment of looking equally over at your problem and saying, you're not as big as you used to be in my mind. Like, all of this that I'm describing is about to end, and end means become chaotic. You know, planetary is pretty stable. Planetary is an accomplishment. It's an achievement. It's an ascent. It's a peak. And it's all going, I'm sound really negative, and I'm just, you know, it's a lunar year. I'm identifying the challenge, but it's all going to be cascading down when we get to the spectral moon. And I remember this from last year, which is why I'm talking about it. Just like, oh, dang, you know, like, it's gone. It's going. The stability, my accomplishment, no, things are unraveling to some degree. They're slipping out of my grasp. So things that feel really solid and comfortable and familiar to you and stable, that's the achievement of getting to the top of the wave. But that's where a lot of people want everything to last. And that's not the nature of natural time. It's not the nature of nature. It's not going to last. It's going to change. It's not going to disappear. It's not ending. It's changing. It's all going to change dramatically in the spectral moon for 28 days. 28 days of change, of dissolving energy. after all of this building towards a peak, it's going to be undone in 1/10 of the time it took for us to get to the top. And that lasts for 28 days when it is the spectral moon of the year. And it is different than what we're going through right now. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know what it'll look like in a blue lunar storm year. But I know we'll be together in it. And I want to thank everyone for who listens and for listening. Because the reason I podcast is because I really care. I really care about what we go through. So it's so nice to talk about it. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.